And the word that the Lord has spoken, it's called vantage point. He said, it's a new year, but I'm the same God.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Father God, as always, Lord, we just worship You. And we stand in Your house in awe of You. That You do have us. That You do everything, Lord. That You work when we don't see it. Lord, that You comfort us. That You provide for us. You just love us. You wrap Your arms around us. You give us the peace that passes all understanding. God, we are thankful for that each and every day. And Lord, as we dive into Your Word right now, Lord, I would just ask that You would speak through me. Lord, You have given us a Word today that comes straight from You. And God, I ask that You would anoint it. You would open our hearts, Lord. That You would be glorified. You would be magnified. You would be exalted. And we would be encouraged that You are still on the throne. And God, I ask right now, Lord, that You would have Your way. Your Spirit would move in a mighty and powerful way. And we ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we give testimonies and DS or any testimonies. And I was going to give mine, but I thought I'd wait since I was going to be up here. But God, I mean, I'm always amazed by Him, but He always does the same thing. He does the perfect thing in the perfect time and just shows up. So I did not know I was preaching, but He knew. So I looked and I hadn't preached since late in October and God had not given me anything. But slowly but surely He started to give me something. And Lisa and I were on a walk on Thursday. And I said, I don't know when I'm going to preach again. I said, but I know what I'm going to preach. And then on Friday, David stops by my work. And he goes, are you preaching Sunday? I was like, where's Pastor Jerry? He goes, well, and I was like, no, I'm not preaching Sunday. And then Friday evening, I get home from work and Rick calls me. He said, has the Lord been speaking to you about a word? No. Lisa heard him and she goes, yes. But I saw I walked out of the room with my... But I was like, and he started to tell me what was going on with Pastor. And he said, just have something. And I was like, okay. That's not going to be a problem. And I went to work yesterday and I just prayed and I started writing it down and I had all these notes and Laura texted me. And she said, I'm going to need you to preach tomorrow. And I was like, I was already planning on preaching tomorrow. I was like, it would have been awkward if Jerry and I stood up here side by side. So I'm glad that He's conceded for this one Sunday. But He's faithful each and every time. There's never any doubt. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And I'm just so thankful for that. So Happy New Year. This will be the best sermon you've heard all year. Sorry, Pastor. Yeah, it's going to be good. And thank you for coming. I've often said Pastor Jerry never comes when I preach. But you know what? He showed up today. No, all joking aside, I'm super excited about this word. God said He does it over and over, but every time I'm still like, man, that was really good. That was really awesome. But I'm not shocked. I'm just thankful. As He started giving me this word, He gave it to me in a bunch of different ways, but it always comes together perfectly and it all ties in. And I just want to look at a few scriptures. Numbers 23:19. Moses was speaking, and he said, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. And then he asked the question, has he said, and shall He not do it? Has He spoken, and will He not make it good? Shauna, what did God tell you? So does He? Yes. He said it. It's done. It will come to pass. It is coming to pass. He has us. Has he said anything that he won't do? Does anyone in here have a time that they can say, you know what? God said he was going to do something and then he didn't. Hands, anyone at all. So do we believe this scripture? God cannot lie. God will not lie. And if he says it, he will do it.
Amen.
Amen. It is a fact. There's no chance. There's nothing else. See, that's the great thing about this book. You have in the beginning stuff that's already happened. You have stuff that's happening right now. And then you have in the future. And guess what? Every bit of it is factual. Every bit of it is either come to pass, is coming to pass, or will come to pass. That is it. There is no other thing about it. There's no way I could be persuaded any differently. God cannot and will not lie. So we agree. That's super helpful. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writing to Timothy in verse 16. We've heard this verse over and over again. All scripture. How much scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So how much scripture? All. So he can't lie, and all of his scripture is for us, and it's inspired by God, correct? Wonderful. All right. Hebrews 13:8, very popular scripture. What's it say? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He will not change. So he doesn't lie. All of the scriptures are inspired by him and for us, and he will not change. Good? Any objections to any of those three things? Great, then we will move forward. Let's go to 2 Kings. These were right after the days of Elijah. These were the days of Elisha. Got close to the song, we just didn't get to the sequel. So Elisha came after Elijah, and he had asked for what? What did he ask Elijah? He asked for double the anointing that he had. So Elisha is a man of God. He's a prophet, right? So here's what's going on at this time. We'll start in verse 8. The king of Syria warred against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, his inner circle, the people that he trusted. And he told them, this is where we're going to go, this is where we're going to be. He says, in such a place, that's where we're going to be. This is our camp. And then in verse 9, the man of God, he tells the king, he sends to the king of Israel, and he said, don't go this way, because that's where the Syrians are going to be. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself. He was saved. He knew where not to go because Elisha the prophet told him. And it says on there that he did not do this once or twice. It didn't say he did it three times. He did it again and again and again and again. So here's the king telling just his people, and God's telling Elisha, this is where they're going. The king, in verse 11, he becomes troubled. It says, the heart of the king was troubled. So he called his servants, the one in his inner circle that he's been telling this stuff to, and he goes, so which one of you guys are for the king of Israel? I mean, how does he know? Like, which one of you is telling him? Verse 12, and one of his servants said, it's not us. It is not us. It's Elisha the prophet that's in Israel. He's telling the king of Israel the words that you're telling us in secret. So he says, go. Find out where he is, and I'm going to send it. I'm going to get him. So it was told him. So in verse 14, he sent horses and chariots and like two or three guys, right? No, it says a great host. And they came by night and they completely surround the city where Elisha is. The next morning, verse 15, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, he gets up early. He comes outside. He's probably going to get him some coffee or something, right? He walks outside and he looks and he's like, oh man. Oh my. And he sees the armies that have come. And he says, Master, what are we going to do? Like, what should we do? Like, we're surrounded. And Elisha says, run. Run. No, Elisha says, fear not. They that be with us are more than are with them. Now his servant at this time is like, listen, you've been really, really, really good with your prophecies, but your math is terrible. There's two of us. Right? He can't, I mean, there's no way. The prophet in verse 17, Elisha prays, and he says, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, what did he see? The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about them. They were surrounded, but they were surrounded by God. Verse 18, Elisha came and he prayed and he said, Lord, he said, smite these people, I pray you, with blindness. The Lord smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And I'm not going to go on any further with this. Elisha prayed that he would open the eyes of the man that was with him. And that is my prayer for us as a church today, that we would open our eyes. That no matter what is going on, no matter how many people are surrounding us, no matter what the enemy comes with, that we would see that there are so many more that are with us, that are for us, than are against us. And the word that the Lord has spoken, it's called vantage point. He said, it's a new year, but I'm the same God. New year, same God. He has not changed. We already established that. He's the same. He cannot lie. And all of His scriptures are for us and from Him. It is a new year, but He is the same God. Vantage point. You know, there was a movie years ago that I watched called Vantage Point. And it was about an assassination. But it went and it would show you apart from the man that got assassinated. Then it would show from someone that was guarding him. Then it showed the point from where there was somebody in the crowd watching this great thing. But there were 8 different vantage points and they all told a different story. But what the Lord is telling us is it doesn't matter where we're standing. Our vantage point needs to be through Him and on Him. It doesn't matter if we're standing up here. It doesn't matter if we're in the valley. It doesn't matter where we are. It matters where He is. And He has us surrounded with His army and His love and His arms. We are constantly surrounded by Him. So we have to quit focusing on the bad, the army, the things that we can't see, the things that are troubling us. We have to focus on what we know, and that is He is for us. You know, it says, I looked up vantage point, and a position or a standpoint from where something is viewed or considered. So from here, I can see all of you. If I come over here, oh, this is nice. I can't see any of you. I can see Dante. There. This is better. No. If I come up here, Tucker, how's this? I know if I was running the camera, I'd be like, just stand still. Pastor Jerry gets a little excited. He'll walk over where the words are on the screen and you got to take them off. And so now I can see even better. I can see which ones of you have snacks. I can, oh, that looks good. But it's a different viewpoint, right? Kay's not sharing. If I go in the closet, somebody needs to clean this up, Laura. But the point is, it doesn't matter where we go. God was in control when I was in the closet. He was in control up here. He's in control at all times. Look past your adversary and look on Him. There's 2 points I want to bring up today. I don't think this is going to be a very long sermon, but we'll see. The first point is, in 2 Kings verse 14 and 15, when he did send out his horses and his chariots, and they surrounded the city, that was real. Elijah didn't say, "But you know what you're seeing is wrong." He's saying, "But we need to see in the heavenly realm." He said, he didn't say those men aren't here to get us, because they were. That's why God sent his army. So the first thing that we need to look at is your enemy is real. And he's coming for you. And it's going to get worse. And what he wants for you is not that you have a happy new year. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your families. He wants to ruin your relationship with the Lord. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be anxious. He wants you to be stressed. He wants you to look at the people that are coming for you. He wants you to look and he wants you to focus on that. That is real. I'm not standing here telling you that there wasn't an army surrounding them trying to get them. That was real. But I'm telling you there was something better and bigger beyond that. So, point one, your enemy's real and he hates you. He wants you to spend eternity in hell. That is his desire for you. There's no reason to sugarcoat it. He wants you away from God and in hell. That's his plan. Jesus told Peter in Luke 22:31, he said, "Simon, Simon," he said, "Satan's desired to have you, and not in a good way." He said, "He's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Peter, Satan wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, "Your adversary, the devil, he's like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour." Like he is real and he hates you. We are under attack. John 10:10, Jesus says what? The thief has come to what? Yes, that's his heart for you. He wants to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. It's bad. But guess what? Happy New Year. Good luck. No, we have this. We are completely prepared for this attack. Right here. Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul. We've all heard this text starting in verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might, not your own." And then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why would we need armor? What's going to happen? I don't want to put on armor. I want to sit on my couch in my sweatpants. No, he says, "Put on your armor." Because there's a battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of this, he says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Because it is coming. But when you put that armor on, you can overcome. He says, stand, having your loins girt with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, above all, take the shield of faith. We must believe. We must know. He says, that way you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You need an armor because you're in an army and you're under attack. He's coming for you and he's coming for your families. But the second part is what it said in 2 Kings in verse 16. He said, "Fear not." All that other stuff is true, but fear not. Because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. He's got you. Right? He's got you. Don't be naive. You're under attack. But don't be scared, because the victory is yours. One of my favorite passages is about David and Goliath, and that's where we'll go. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You want to talk about a vantage point. Lannon and Dante just went to Lancaster to Sights and Sounds and saw David. How big was Goliath in that thing? They made him 22 feet. Said it was awesome, right? In that version, Goliath won. So, you have to go see for yourself. So Goliath, as we've heard this story, and we've, from the time we were children, but truly think about him. He wasn't 22 feet tall. It says here he was 9'9". But it says, there went out, in verse 4, 1 Samuel 17:4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was huge. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of his coat, it says in my Bible, was 166 pounds. His coat. Be a big man to carry a 166-pound coat around. And it said he had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spears had weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him because he needed help. And he stood and he cried to the armies of Israel. He said, why have you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man and let him come down to me. Now, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him, you will be our servants. In verse 10, the Philistine said, I challenge the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. Now, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Their vantage point was, he's bigger than us, he's stronger than us, and he's going to kill us. I mean, that's not completely unreasonable. It sounds like he was a big guy. Their vantage point was, we're too small. We're too weak. We can't go out against him. How many of you have had that same vantage point before when a battle came? I have. I've been like, this is too much. This is, I can't do this. Oh, this is, I'm in trouble. And you would be on your own. Jump down to verse 26. David, who's not in the army, has just come and he's heard them talking that whoever kills this man gets great riches, and Saul's going to give him his daughter, and he's going to have all this stuff. But David knows how big Goliath is. He's heard him talking about how no one can battle him. But David had a different vantage point. David saw things a little differently. David said, what shall be done to the man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Like, what else is he going to get? But he says, for who is this? What? Who is this? This uncircumcised Philistine? He's going to defy the armies of the living God? What a different perspective, what a different vantage point that he had than everyone else. And why was that? Because he was looking to God. See, I think about this all the time, because any time in a sport when there's a mismatch, it's David versus Goliath. Will David have a chance against the giant? It's a huge mismatch. But I look at it like David looked at it. David looked at it as Goliath versus God. That's the mismatch. Goliath's only 9'9". He's got a coat of 166 pounds. He's got no chance against my God. That's the mismatch. It should be God versus Goliath, not David versus Goliath. David knew better. He was like, he's little. Oh, he's in trouble. Jump down to verse 36. He's trying to convince them to let him go. And he says, I slew a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like them. He's defied the armies of the living God. And then David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul was like, just go. Like, you seem like you think you can do this. So he sends him. And then they try to get him to wear all this stuff. And he's like, no, you know, I don't really need all that stuff. So he gets his slingshot and he gets his five stones, right? And he goes. And verse 42, it is, it's Goliath and David. So Goliath thinks. And Goliath says, he saw him. I mean, he was like, really? Like, that guy? He started belittling him. He was just little. He was a youth. He was ruddy. He was of a fair countenance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with a stick? And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And then the Philistine said to David, he said, come over here and I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. See, sometimes we think if we stand up to the bully's going to run away. That's not always the case. But are you going to continue to stand? Are we going to continue to stand? Are we going to continue to have the correct vantage point? Then David said to the Philistine, he said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, with a shield? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. He said, this day, today, he said, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands, and I'm going to smite you, and I'm going to take your head. And he said, I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And that's exactly what he did. Goliath was like a gnat. You know, I'd like to think when that stone hit him, it was just the Lord flicking him in the forehead. And he went right down. He couldn't stand against the presence of the Almighty God. And David's vantage point knew that. He looked at him and he said, you're in trouble. Everyone got to see the glory of God that day. That has to be the vantage point that we take this year and going forward. I don't care if it's 2023. I don't care if it's 2099. It doesn't matter. It will not change because God will not change. Our vantage point is a victory. I'm going to end this sermon in the future. So let's go to Revelation. It is the first of the year. So if you have any new challenges you want to do, now's a good time to start. Lisa had said a couple weeks ago that we both decided we were going to read the Bible from front to back, and we both finished. That almost interfered with me preaching because I had some reading to do yesterday in Revelation. I was like, great, now I have homework. But as you read Revelation, the revelation of Christ, the revelation of His power, the revelation of who He is, it is exciting. So when I finished it, I was like, I'm going to start this book over again. I know it hasn't changed, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to start over tomorrow, and I'm going to read it again. Because God will continue to speak to us through this if we hide it in our hearts. And one of the things that I did that I told Lisa was the first time I read it, I highlighted. And then the next time I underlined some stuff that I hadn't seen the first time with black marker. And this time I did it with blue marker. And next year I'm going to get a different one. Because God continues to speak to us out of the same scriptures if we'll just dig into His Word. Revelation chapter 19. This is right after John has seen the great city of Babylon be taken down. And John, after these things, he said, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. He's judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. He's avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And then the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and they worshiped God. They sat on the throne saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And then a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and you that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know what omnipotent means? All powerful. The Almighty God reigns. This is what is going to happen. It's happening now, but this is what will happen. He will destroy the enemy. He has control over him, but he's waiting, and he will destroy him, and the enemy has no chance. The one that's coming at you now has no chance. Jump down to verse 11. We sang a song today that said He comes on the clouds, right? He's coming. John says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon Him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that which with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh name written, He is the King of kings and Lord of lords." That's what's going to happen. We don't have to believe it, like it, or agree with it, but this is factual. This is prophecy that will take place. He's coming back. And when He comes back, jump down to verse 19. John said he saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies. They were gathered together to make war against Him that sat on the horse and against His army. The beast was taken, and with Him the false prophet that wrought miracles before Him. This is a prophecy of the end times. What's going to happen? And this evil will occur. But then Christ will take them. These are the ones that deceived them, that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped His image. These two were both cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, they were slain with the sword of Him that sat upon the horse, the sword that proceeded out of His mouth. Your future is one of victory. Jesus is coming back. You know what happens to Satan? Revelation 20:10 says, the devil that deceived everyone, deceived them, that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they're going to be tormented day and night for how long? Forever and ever. Our vantage point is that we know the end. No matter what's going on right now, whether we can see it or not, right, Pastor? God is in control. And those that are with us are much more than those that are against us. Revelation 22, the last chapter, the end of what's been revealed to us. In verse 12, Jesus says, "I come quickly." His reward is with, He says, "My reward is with Me to give every man according as His work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Because without her dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes lies. Jesus tells John, he says, I've sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. He's telling his church, I'm coming back. Be ready. He said, I've testify to these things in the churches. He says, I'm the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's free. I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man will add to these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take any way from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life. This book is true. It is the inspiration of God. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, he which testifies these things, Jesus says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. When? We don't know. He says quickly, though, when he comes. He says, get ready. Be prepared. Because he's coming back. It's a new year. So guess what? We're going to have new obstacles this year. We're going to have new challenges. We're going to have new battles. We're going to have new attacks. We might even have loss and heartache. But through any of those things, I want you to think about what his word says. And then he says, there are more that are for you. So no matter what you're going through, your vantage point has to be to him. You have to look to him. Because life isn't always easy and perfect the way we think it should be. But he is always perfect. And he is always there. And he always has you. So this year is a new opportunity for victories. That's how we need to look at it. Victories. Because yes, it's a new year, but we serve the same God. So any new problem, it's the same solution. It's Him. There's nothing that's going to come that He is not ready for. And if we trust in Him and follow Him, we will have the same victory and the same outcome as David had when he went up against Goliath, as Elisha and his servant had when they came under attack. We will have victory. It is a new year, but God does not change. In the beginning, right now, and in the end, he's the same. He's perfect, he's victorious, and he has you. So no matter what, look to him. No matter what the challenge, the obstacle, look to him, because there's your victory, your salvation, and your outcome. It's in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this encouraging word today. God, we have to focus on you. God, I ask right now as Elisha asked for his servant, and I ask that you would open our eyes. I ask that we would see that there are so many more for us, that your army is great, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, I ask that we look past anything that comes from the enemy and we look to you, that we are victorious in you and through your power and your might. God, there's so many that are sick among us, Lord, and I know this word has got to be encouraging, Lord, because you're telling them, you have us, you're with us, you are victorious, and therefore we are victorious through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, I pray right now that you would open my eyes and each and every person's eyes in here, that they would see what you have for us. That they would see, that we would see the glory of your presence and of your power. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes that all we can see is victory and all we can see is you. And I ask it in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.